Hi, and welcome to the second addendum of our podcast, Undisclosed. My name is Rabia Chaudhry, and I'm joined with my co-hosts, Colin Miller and Susan Simpson. Just to refresh your memory, our addendums are kind of mini episodes between full episodes that will help kind of tide over the two-week wait between the full episodes, which I know some folks have found kind of painful. We use the addendums to give you updates and maybe some information and details that we didn't cover in the full episode. And also, we're going to start responding to listener questions, which I'm excited about. First of all, can I just say on a personal note, a big, big thank you to our listeners. We broke the million listener mark with our first episode. So it's overwhelming. We're really, really thankful. And we love hearing from you. So please keep tweeting at us and talking to us. So I'll start off with some Twitter questions and I'll respond to those with Susan. Colin's going to respond to some questions specifically about our second episode, which was called Haze Day. And then Susan will wrap up with some new information, actually. Okay, so let's get to questions from our listeners. The first question that I'm going to respond to from Twitter comes from Jamie, whose Twitter handle is JPO7410. And Jamie asks, one thing Serial left me wondering, how well did Jay know Hay? Did they have a friendship? So, as far as I know, from what I've heard from Adnan's friends and Hay's friends and Adnan himself, Hay and Jay knew each other. Obviously, they went to school together. They had at least one class together, if not more. They sometimes were in the same circles together, like social events and stuff, because, you know, Jay was dating Stephanie, who was part of the magnet program, and Hay and Adnan were part of the magnet program as well. And so Jay really knew this group through Stephanie. So I think it's fair to say that they might have been friendly around each other, but they were not friends. It didn't seem like there was any indication that they were actually ever friends. I've never seen Jay's name mentioned in Hay's diary, the written diary at least. So, yeah, I would say that they probably could not be called friends necessarily.
This comes from TBC. His Twitter handle is at Chef Johnny F. And he asks, you said Takara wasn't her name. Do you have an identity? And the answer is yes, we do. And we do because here are where Debbie and Becky's stories intertwine. So according to Debbie, after Hay's body is found, a crisis intervention team comes to school. And Debbie goes to talk to this team along with Becky, Aisha, who is Hay's best friend, Takara, and her sister. Now, this meshes with a statement given by a teacher, Ms. Kramer, who recalls the same group of students going to talk to the team. But in the transcription of Ms. Kramer's interview, Takara's name is correctly spelled. And so, yes, we do know her identity. And yes, it's clear she was never interviewed by police. Now, this sort of prompts the next question, which is, well, the prosecution wrote Debbie out of the timeline at trial. Doesn't it sort of make sense that they failed to interview Takara? Well, first, I would say, if she knew Hay well enough to have to go to the crisis intervention team, she probably was a person whom the police wanted to talk to. That said, fair point. The prosecution did write Debbie out of the timeline at trial, and so what was their timeline at trial? According to the prosecution at trial, the last student to see Hay alive was, again, her best friend, Aisha. And Aisha was in her last period AP psychology class, and according to the prosecution, Aisha saw Hay at the end of class, in class, talking to Adnan. And so if you're the state and you're trying to determine, did this conversation take place on January 13th? What was its content? What did Hay possibly do right after class? Who's the person you'd most want to talk to? The answer is probably the person who sat next to Hay in AP psychology class. She likely would have been there for the conversation with Adnan. She's probably the person who was most likely to accompany Hay out of class. And so who was that person? It's a good question, and it seems like it's one the state decided to pursue. And they had the AP psychology teacher draw a diagram of the class. She plotted Adnan sitting at the back of the classroom farthest away from the door, plotted the two people who sat next to him. The teacher then plotted Hay in her seat on the side of the class closer to the front door, And then the one person who sat next to her, apparently the other seat was empty. And so the question is, who is this person who sat right next to Hay in AP Psychology? And the answer is Takara. And there's no transcription mistake here. The teacher correctly spelled both her first and last name. And so what are we left with? We're left with Debbie, the original last person to see Hay alive. And yet Takara, who's almost certainly part of this conversation, never interviewed. State's theory of the case at trial is Aisha's the last student to see Hay alive. And yet Takara sits right next to Hay in that same AP psychology class. And again, as far as we can tell, no attempt whatsoever to interview Takara.
Another question that we've gotten is from Haris Kamal, whose Twitter handle is HK1170. And Haris asks why Rabia and her team can't get the correct information about the interview date from Channel 2 archives. So what Haris is asking is about the interview that Hay apparently and allegedly gave to a public school TV station in terms of being student athlete of the month. And we heard a little clip of that at the beginning of episode 2 of our podcast. So the reason we haven't been able to get information from the channel itself is that they don't have it. Folks who've reached out to them to try to get verification have not really been able to dig anything up. Apparently, the original tape doesn't exist. And the original would have the date and timestamp. And they have no record of when the video was actually made, which is just kind of sad. Also odd, because you think it is 1999. It wasn't like it was 1899. But it's just one more thing that easily could have been verified, you know, 16 years ago, and now we're struggling to do.
Our next question comes from Somali Dentist, who asks, can you find out what clothes Hay was wearing in the video and compare with what clothes they found on her body? He's referring to the video of Hay's interview. And in that video, she's wearing either a lacrosse or field hockey uniform. I don't know the difference. And we do know that those uniforms were kept on campus. There was a locker for them and they stayed there. So it's no surprise that those were not found in her car or with her. What is surprising, though, is that she was wearing tennis shoes and socks in that interview. Hay didn't have a locker on campus. She used her car as a storage place. But her car didn't have her shoes or her socks in it when the cops found it. Which is weird, because if she'd had those with her that day, they should have been in the car somewhere. Kind of similar to the issue with the testimony from Inna's butler. Inna said that Hay came by that day before she left school at about 2:30 and bought apple juice and hot fries. What the cops noted in their report, though, because it didn't add up, was that although they found a bottle of apple juice in Hay's car, they didn't find any hot fries, which they should have. If Inez Butler was recalling the right day, those snacks should have still been there, but they weren't. And it bugged the cops, too, because their report says, did we ever find the bag of hot fries? No. They didn't.
This one comes from Lindsay Carter Gay. Her Twitter handle is @LindsFerry. And she asks, if the wrestling match didn't even happen on January 13th, doesn't that change like everything? And the answer is yes, it really does. So if we think back to Serial, we have Summer and she's talking with Hay about the wrestling match up until about 2:50, 3 o'clock p.m. on January 13th. And what that means is we have Asia McLean, who saw Adnan in the library up until about 2:40 p.m., and while she's legally relevant, she's factually pretty irrelevant. Because if Hay's still at school until 2:50, 3 o'clock p.m., Adnan certainly could have seen Asia at the library and then gotten in her car. Well, if there's no wrestling match on January 13th, Summer is taken out of the narrative. And in fact, the last person to see Hay on January 13th is likely Becky. Again, who said she saw Hay leaving school in a hurry at about 2:20 with something else to do and somewhere else to be. And so that does two things. First, it makes Asia factually very important. If she saw Adnan up until 2:40 and Hay's leaving school at about 2:20, well, then obviously Adnan didn't get into her car. The other point is to say we know that Hay usually left school at around 3 o'clock to pick up her cousin at 3:15. Well, according to Becky, she's leaving school in a hurry at 2:20 to do something else. So she's leaving about 40 minutes earlier than usual. And this is the heart of what I've been trying to determine ever since Cyril ended. What was this something else that was causing Hay to leave 40 minutes early? When did it come up? How did it come up? My best theory at this point in time is the ride to Adnan was still discussed at lunch. And so sometime during Hay's computer class or sometime during AP Psychology, I think she got something on her pager. Something came up. Question is, what was that something?
A question that comes to us from Sean T, who I was really excited to see, is following Undisclosed. And you all probably know who Sean T is. He's a famous celebrity fitness trainer. Gosh, I wish if by Twitter association I could just get fit, that would be awesome, but not going to happen. So he asks, if Adnan would sometimes check his email after school, is it possible that there's records of him logging in that day? Now, this is a question that, again, if in 1999 somebody had done their job, would have easily been answered. Adnan had gotten Asia's letters shortly after he was arrested, and she mentioned he was on the computer when she talked to him, and he remembered it. He remembered that when he had actually seen her at the library, that he was on the computer. So he had given his lawyer, Gutierrez, his email address and also his password. And we know that because it's in her notes from 1999. Now, we have no evidence that she actually ever checked his email address. And what's really frustrating for, particularly for somebody like me, is the fact that that would have taken absolutely no effort. I mean, you could sit in your own office, never leave your own office, and log into somebody else's Hotmail account. And there's just no evidence. Like, there's not any, you know, printouts of his activity. And, you know, what happened is she went back to Adnan and said, well, I checked with Asia, the dates are wrong. So he kind of forgot about Asia and he forgot about the email stuff. By the time I learned about Asia and the possibility that he might have been checking his email, which was like a year later after he was convicted, you know, I immediately went to try and log into his account, and the account had been suspended because that's how Hotmail worked. They did not keep inactive accounts open. And since that time, a number of folks have tried to get that information from Hotmail, including Sarah, by the way, from Serial. A number of Adnan's lawyers, and what the response has been is that, like, it's just gone. 1999 was too long ago. That information's gone, which is kind of hard for me to believe because I always thought that once it's out there on the internet, it never goes away. So there's a part of me that wonders if somewhere, you know, in the very, very deep recesses of internet archives, his account records exist. And gosh, it would be great if Microsoft would step up and say, hey, yeah, we'll find it for you.
Adnan's attorney was not the only one to have his email address and password. The prosecution had it too. It's in their files. So if they'd wanted to check his email activity, they could have done that.
So thanks so much for your question, Sean. I promise you we've tried. It hasn't panned out, unfortunately, like a lot of other things.
There is other evidence that was never acquired in the first place. For instance, Hay's diary. Hay had a handwritten diary that was found and was used at trial. At trial, Hay's brother testified that he'd gotten caught snooping. He'd gone into her room and read her diary, and Hay had found out. As a result, Hay had stopped writing all of her entries on the physical book that was introduced into evidence. Instead, she'd started writing her more sensitive diary entries on her computer, and she would save them on a floppy disk. That way, they weren't available to her little brother, and he couldn't find them. There's no official record of what happened to that diary, to the one on the floppy disk. But there is a big clue from the police files, and from the evidence that was taken into custody. In Hay's car, the police found a floppy disk. It was labeled Hay School Stuff. It was in the back seat. We don't know what happened to it. We don't know where it went. We don't know if anyone ever checked it. But it's a good bet that that's where the diary was kept. And if we want more information about what Hay was doing, what her plans were, that's a good place to look. The police never did, though, or at least not officially. There are some oddities in the trial record that suggest, though, that maybe someone had access to it. For instance, in closing arguments, the prosecution claimed that Hay's diary said she'd given Adnan a ride 2 days before her death, and this was evidence that she would have given him a ride on the 13th as well. Problem is, there is no entry in her diary to support this. Either the prosecution was simply making this up because it helped their case against Adnan, or possibly it actually was in Hay's diary, just not in the one that had been introduced into evidence.
Thanks so much for joining us on this week's addendum. Please make sure you return next week when we're going to be bringing you the third full episode of Undisclosed, and it's an episode you're not going to want to miss. So far, we've looked at Adnan's day, at Hay's day, and now we're going to be looking at the center, the eye of the storm, the mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a shroud. Next week on Undisclosed, it'll be Jay's day. Special thanks to Amr Naji, our sound editor, Ramiro Marquez, who created our theme music, and Baluki, who provided our logo. Dennis Robinson is our executive producer. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter handle is UndisclosedPod. Tweet us your questions and comments using the hashtag undisclosed.
The Undisclosed Podcast is brought to you in part by the Adnan Syed Trust, a legal defense fund that helps to pay Adnan's legal fees and associated investigative efforts. All proceeds raised through advertising on today's episode of Undisclosed were given to the trust. To learn more about the trust and to donate to our efforts to free Adnan, please visit www.launchgood.com/freeAdnan.